the circle wide. Draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. God is the point of the circle, round whom all creation turns. Nothing lost but held forever in God's gracious arms. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Let our hearts touch far horizons, so encompass great and small. Let our loving know no borders, faithful to God's call. Draw the circle wide, draw it wide. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Let the dreams we dream be larger than we've ever dreamt before. Let the dream of Christ be in us, open every door. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Friends, welcome to God's house. We're very, very pleased that you can join us for worship today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are very pleased today to welcome Foster back to the pulpit, and we look forward to the Reverend Diane Collery being back in her place next week. Would you join me now in the call to worship? This is no ordinary place. This is the house of God. This is the place where the prophets cry out for peace and justice and righteousness. It is the place where God reaches down into the corners of our lives to offer us the mystery of holy love. This is no ordinary gathering. This is no ordinary place. This is the house of God. If you light a candle for worship as a practice, let's do that together and remember that Jesus lights the way in our lives back to God.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's join together in today's prayer of confession. Most holy God, most gracious God, you came to us in Jesus as our friend. You came to us in Jesus as our host, to receive us and to make us welcome. But we struggle to offer an open door to others. We struggle to embody for others the rich hospitality we received from you. Soften our hearts of stone. Banish the fears that prompt us to view others with suspicion. Make us more like Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Our theme today involves hospitality, God's call for us to extend it to others, something that we often find it difficult to do. Let us recall, therefore, that the God who came to us in Jesus Christ not only admonishes us to be good hosts, but himself served as the ultimate host, and he put that into powerful words. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, know that we are a people warmly invited to return to God. Know that we are a forgiven and renewed people, a resurrected people, if you please. Friends, rejoice in God's forgiving love. And let God's people say, Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Luke 14, verses 1 and 7 to 14. One Sabbath, Jesus went to eat a meal at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and people were watching Jesus closely. Jesus noticed how some of the guests were choosing the best places, so he told this parable to all of them. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place. It could happen that someone more important than you has been invited, and your host, who invited you, both of you, would have to come and say to you, let him have this place, and then you would be embarrassed and have to sit in the lowest place. Instead, when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that your host will come to you and say, come on up, my friend, to a better place. This will bring you honor in presence of all the other guests. For everyone who makes himself great will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be made great. And then Jesus said to his host, when you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, for they will invite you back. And in this way, you will be paid for what you did. And when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they are not able to pay you back. God will repay you on the day the good people rise from death. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let's start by acknowledging that this was no ordinary dinner party. Whatever the intention of the leader of the Pharisees who invited Jesus to this particular meal might have been, both he and his guests certainly got more than they bargained for. Although in truth, were they receptive to the teaching words Jesus offered by way of table talk on this particular occasion? You know, I wonder how many Oceanside hosts would extend a second invitation to our Lord, having witnessed his somewhat less than conventional dinner guest behavior on this first occasion. Nevertheless, guests and hosts alike, were they receptive? Were they receptive to the words spoken by Jesus on this particular occasion would surely have emerged from this dinner with a great deal to ponder. And you know, I've been reminded this week, reminded of a saying that is often attributed to Mark Twain, although it's highly doubtful Mark Twain actually said this. In truth, when Mark Twain spoke about the Bible, what he had to say was far more acerbic than this. But regardless of who first offered this brief aphorism, it's a good one, one that I can gladly get behind on such a morning as this. The aphorism I have in mind runs, "Some people are troubled by the things in the Bible they cannot understand. The things that trouble me are the things I can understand." And yeah, that really does fit this morning's episode quite nicely, doesn't it? But let's see. Let's see that while the points being made by our Lord are not hard to fathom, let's see if we can dig a little deeper into Christ's table talk and discern what his words to guests and hosts alike, what his words might mean for folks like us and for a congregation such as ours, some 20 centuries after these words were first spoken. And let's begin with the admonitions Christ's aims at the guests. At the guests to this particular festive table. Okay. If you'll recall, what sets his words into motion is that the guests are choosing for themselves the places of honor at the banquet. One might well, of course, wonder why the host hadn't laid out seating cards in order to spare everybody embarrassment, but let's not color outside the lines this morning. Rather, let's focus on the common sense parable Jesus tells in response to their behavior. In effect, what might be described as a parable of warning, the moral of which pretty much boils down to the sort of advice many of us likely received from our parents about not getting too big for our britches. As practical wisdom, that parable is sadly spot on the money. When we blow our own horn or regard ourselves as someone entitled for special privileges or special honors, what we're doing is setting ourselves up for a come down, and as Jesus explicitly warns, setting ourselves up for public humiliation. But of course, there is a deeper edge to all of this related to that word humiliation and its intrinsic connection to a far more positive word, namely humility. After all, humiliation is what happens when someone else puts us in our place. Humility is what happens when we cultivate, when we choose to cultivate the capacity to know ourselves for who we really and truly happen to be. And please note, none of this ought to be heard as a recommendation for us to all assume a noxious Uriah Heep kind of stance as we navigate through life. God forbid. But each and every one of us can, and frankly, as Christians really ought, to aspire to the twin virtues, closely related virtues, of gratitude and humility. At a bare minimum, the humility to know that I am a creature, not the author of my own life, and thereby gratitude for the gift of the life I have been given, a gift for which I certainly can take none of the credit. There is, you see, a profound spiritual dimension to the useful practical advice being offered here, a sense in which the common sense behavior warranted at a dinner party provides a clue to a deep self-knowledge that will stand us in good stead in the presence of the one who created us, who at the end of the day is also our judge, the one who will alone serve as host to the great banquet to which we all aspire, the one who alone will know precisely how to welcome and which place to assign to each and every one of his guests. So much for the first half of Christ's table talk. So much for his words to his fellow guests who were giving themselves all kinds of fancy air. In truth, and here I will try to speak honestly, in truth, I personally find the second half of this morning's text, the words he speaks to his host and other would-be hosts, words about throwing dinner parties for the poor and the marginalized. Frankly, I find this section of this morning's reading far, far, far more intimidating than the first section. And you know, I'm always reminded with words from Jesus such as these words, always reminded of the year-long internship to which I was called back in 1989 as I entered the final stages of my journey toward ordination. I spent that year at First United Church, First United Church in Vancouver's downtown East Side, a troubled neighborhood then that I guess has become only more troubled during the intervening 33 years. It was a rich and rewarding experience, of course, but frankly, at times it was also a deeply challenging experience, one which, if nothing else, certainly led me to the conviction that my own ministry would not be the sort of street-level ministry that is at the heart of the kind of work and the kind of presence needed from the church in places such as Vancouver's downtown East Side. When I'm honest about who I am as a person, and I guess at age 71 I should at least aspire to a small measure of honesty, I have to acknowledge that I may well be the most terminally middle-class person I have ever met. The fact that I am also an introvert only adds to the list of factors as to why I ended up making a home with my family in a place such as Parksville Qualicum, rather than on the mean streets of downtown Vancouver or the downtown of any other big city. And yet, The words Christ is heard to speak this morning, with his insistence that a good host ought to aspire to be taking as his guests outsiders rather than insiders, those who have nothing to offer in return rather than those who might be able to repay a host's kindness. That insistence strikes me as one of the most powerfully defining touchstones of a church that bears the name of Jesus Christ. Indeed, there's a case to be made, and it is a powerful case, that not only the most important gathering, but the most sacred weekly gathering here at St. Stephen's United Church, Qualicum Beach, is the one that transpires at noon on Thursday, rather than the ones that transpire at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sundays. Trust me, it's not easy for me to make that statement, and not only because I am afflicted like most human beings with an insufferable inability to see the world through any eyes but my own. And so, yes, I'm obviously impacted by the fact that impacted by the fact that Sunday is my kind of day, a day when folks such as Diane and Phil, Fiona and Anne, and of course, yours truly, get to take center stage and lead worship. I won't pretend that I don't enjoy that. But this is not just about ego, boundless though most of our egos turn out to be. No, even when I'm out there occupying a comfortable chair rather than standing up here preaching or presiding, I am deeply nourished by worship. And I'll go so far as to suggest that I think I am a far better person than I would be were it not for the ways in which Sunday worship stamps me week in, week out. Nevertheless, let's put it this way. Knowing full well that Scripture is the best interpreter of Scripture, I found myself this past week hearing echoes from another Scripture reading, this one from Matthew's bracing Sermon on the Mount, the section where Jesus insists that if I'm in the midst of making an offering to God in the midst of the sanctuary, but recall that there is a significant barrier between myself and a sister or a brother, that I should put that offering to God to one side and make things right between myself and my brother or my sister before attempting to make things right between myself and God. And yeah, I know, if you push that thought far enough, none of us would ever make it to church because we would spend all our time out there trying to fix the human brokenness that is part and parcel of our lives. But the point here is that we delude ourselves. We delude ourselves if we believe that our relationship with God is the only relationship that truly matters. Which is why Thursday at noon here at St. Stephen's is truly sacred time, holy time. Time in which folks, many of whom would not feel comfortable in our sanctuary on a Sunday morning, are extended warmth of hospitality and hope that they are able to receive right here on a Thursday afternoon. May that ministry and others like it thrive for as long as this place is in operation. And may all of us as persons and as members of faith communities find the courage, find the heart. And this really is about heart. This really is about courage when push comes to shove. May we find the courage to open our hearts, our hands, our doors a little bit wider as we seek to hear and to heed Christ's table talk, his exhortation for us to be sensible guests and generous, risk-taking hosts. A final thought. Always one to take his own words to heart, which is to say, never one to admonish us to listen to his words, but to ignore his actions. Let's take both inspiration and comfort, both inspiration and comfort, from the way in which Christ came to us both as a guest and as a host. As a guest, and despite the royal nature of the house call he was paying, as the one of whom it truly can be said, God of God, light of life, true God of true God. Given the royal nature of his visage, his arrival not in purple robes, but in the straw-lined receptacle known as a manger, ought to serve as a reminder that Christ not only beseeches humility, but models precisely that humility. The perfect humility of the perfect guest, to which he calls us as followers and friends. As for his willingness to model the kind of hospitality, the kind of hosting to which he calls us, well, suffice it to say that as he prepared the guest list for his own kingdom banquet, he managed to make it abundantly clear that the very first one in line, the guest who would be at the very top of the guest list, was none other than that thief who hung on an adjourning cross on the day of their twinned deaths. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, to which the immediate reply, far from amounting to the sort of haughty rebuff that might rightly have been offered, turns out to have been a simple assurance offered very close to that moment when our Lord would draw his final breath. This day you will be with me in paradise. Haunting words, hospitable words, from the lips of this our Jesus, who came here as our guest, sharing our humble and fractured humanity, so that he might one day be our host, welcoming us to a feast that will far surpass any we have ever tasted, a banquet that will far surpass any that we can even begin to imagine or dream about. This is the gospel, the good news of the one who calls us, who continues to call us. Thanks be to God.
Will you leave?
fear inside and never be the same. Will you use the flame you found to reshape the world around? Through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me. Lord, your summons echoes true.
Let's pray together. Triune God, Jesus, God beside us, Father, God above us, Holy Spirit, God within us, it is to you that we pray this morning. Father, we praise you for your love, your grace and mercy, and thank you for your comfort, strength, and your compassion. As it says in the Psalms, God remembered us when we were down. His love never quits. Rescued us from the trampling boot. His love never quits. Takes care of everyone in time of need. His love never quits. Thank God who did it all. His love never quits. Father God, we lift up to you this morning our neighbors and pray for homes for the homeless, strength for the weak, food for the hungry, friends for the lonely, medicine for the sick, hope for the hopeless, healing for broken hearts. And loving God, when it feels like just too much, and that we're just not doing well or being enough, help us embrace your unconditional love as described in the words of a song by Jason Gray. When I lose my way and forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough, remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, can you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. I'm the one you love. I'm the one you love. That will be enough. Tell me, lest I forget, who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you, to you. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We love you. We worship you. And we ask all these things in the precious name of the risen Jesus. And thank you for Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we thank you again for the ways in which you give to the mission and work of this church through your time, your money, your efforts, your work. Would you pray with me now this prayer dedicating these gifts to God's work? O God of power, O God of love, We praise you for your goodness and your grace. We render thanks for the glories of creation which surround us each and every day. Accept the offering of our hearts and hands, and help us to live in peace and harmony with one another and with all creation. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Friends in Christ, we have worshiped together, and it is my privilege and my responsibility to send you forth with God's richest blessing, but to send you forth as well with the blessing of those who are Christ's body and are called to be hospitable and to be filled with gratitude and humility, knowing that God in Christ is in our midst. And God in Christ invites us all to be God's people in the world. Go forth now to love and to serve our God. Thanks be to God.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. To
Oh, sweet.